And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." I don't know if you've noticed out on Burcham here, if you drive down Burcham or crawl, as the case may be, it's like 25 miles per hour forever, but if you go down there on the north side of the road past the elementary school, I see it when I go on a walk or if I go on a run there, there's a whole line of someone's fence, and I'm not sure if it's graffiti or if someone wanted it to be there, but it's about 100 peace signs, all painted in bright tie-dye appropriate sort of colors. Just run by and you'll just see colored onto this long fence are just the peace signs. You know, the circle with the three-prong thing going down. Someone can explain to me why that's the symbol for peace later. We like peace. We have a sign for peace. We do this if we want to say peace. You can see it on cards and bumper stickers. You can see visualize world peace. And then, of course, someone had to say visualize world peas because that's punny. I can remember when I was a child, I'm going to give you the ultimate 1990s reference that will mean something to a few of you and nothing to most of you. Remember watching Saved by the Bell, that great piece of television masterpiece, and an episode when Kelly's dad was so discouraged because he was out of work. He worked at the defense plant, and she came in and said, "World peace has broke out, and Dad has lost his job." It had that sort of really rich plot development. World peace. We all want world peace. We pray for it, and we're right to pray for it. Pray for peace in Syria, absolutely. Peace in Afghanistan, peace in Israel and Palestine, peace on our streets, of course. The angel song here in Luke chapter 2 has something to do with that kind of peace, and yet it is narrower and so much bigger than all those spray-painted peace signs and all the bumper stickers and all the slogans. Narrower and bigger at the same time. I want to give you just briefly five statements that shape and define what the angels were singing about when they said, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace." What did they mean? First, it is a peace that fulfills messianic prophecy. The word Messiah is simply the Hebrew word, which is translated in the Greek as Christos or Christ. It means anointed one. And there were a whole host of prophecies about the Messiah in the Old Testament. We've read some of them already here. And there were a number of prophecies about peace. For those of you who go to this church, you know that more often than not, at the end of the service, I hold up my hands and I give you that blessing from Numbers chapter 6, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you," what? "His peace." Peace. Haggai 2:9, "The latter glory of the temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. In this place I will give peace." Isaiah 52:7, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace." There were all of these prophecies, and it was about this messianic age that was to come. And then we get to the New Testament, we find these things fulfilled. Acts 10:36, as for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. In the scriptures, we've already read Isaiah chapter 9, Micah chapter 2, and he shall be their peace. When the angels announced the glad tidings to the shepherds, they were not just announcing a generic peace. They are telling of the fulfillment of messianic prophecy. They are saying, pay attention. You've been waiting for this. It's here. Because Christ has come. We'll say more about that in a moment. That's the first. It's a messianic peace. Second, it is a peace that encompasses the totality of our salvation. In Luke chapter 1, there's a prophecy from Zechariah. Who's Zechariah? He's different than the prophet in the Old Testament, Zechariah. This was a priest who would, by his wife Elizabeth, give birth to John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus. John the Baptist would prepare the way for the Messiah. And he says this, and you, child, God says to him, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, did you hear that? What is the way of peace? It sounds very nice, but this prophecy from Zechariah spells it out. To be in the way of peace is to experience forgiveness, the Lord's mercy, to have the sun rise upon us. It is, as that blessing from Numbers said, to know the peace of Christ is to know God smiling upon us instead of turning his back against us. This peace represents God's kingdom come to earth. It is a peace that forgives. It is a peace that conquers. So don't hear that and think soft, muted, edges, nebulous, impotent peace. Let me give you a verse that has always struck me because of the juxtaposition of these two things you're going to hear. Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. How do you like that? The God of peace crushes Satan under our feet, just as he, the snake crusher, crushed the serpent in fulfillment of the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3. God, in his peace, makes war against sin and evil. That's what slipped into our world in the manger on that Christmas night. This peace breaking in, though no one knew it. When you go to the mall, and when you do, I'm sorry that you have to, but when you do, and I trust they're all closed, okay? Whatever you got, it's just going to have to be good enough. Yeah, you find something to eat tomorrow, something to wrap. When you go to the mall and you hear the music, and you hear in one moment, hark the herald angels sing. You're like, wow, I can't believe this is just blaring through the loudspeakers. What a wonderful. And then you hear grandma got run over by a reindeer or something. And then you hear, joy to the world! And then, rocking around the Christmas. I mean, it's just so, at first I hear that and it makes me want to be very grinchy. Think, why are you ruining all these songs? Don't you know these great hymns and you're putting them side by side with Mariah Carey? Come on, can't you figure this out? But then I think, how very much like the first Christmas. Sacred, profane, mixed together. Only some people recognizing what they're hearing. Many people going about their lives as if nothing has happened, nothing has changed, just more elevator music for the holidays. It's sort of like Christmas. God quietly infiltrated this planet, and since then he has been building through this child, grown, crucified, raised to life, building a kingdom of peace. This peace embraces the totality of our salvation. It is a conquering peace. Third statement, it is a peace that divides. You see, later in chapter 2, when Jesus, some days later, is presented at the temple, Simeon there, the elderly, saintly man Simeon, says, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." What a strange, wonderful, and disturbing message that must have been to Mary and Joseph. Here's their child. They've already received angelic visitations, and they know something is very different about this child. And Simeon says, this child, this one of peace, will be one who divides. Not because Christ sets out to be divisive, but because he understood and Simeon understood that there is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. We would like to think that we can just have everything else in life in a little bit of Jesus and a little for you, a little for me, and maybe you have a little bit more than me, or maybe you're not interested right now. But Simeon understands this child is going to reveal people's hearts, and it will be for the falling and the rising of many. Christ divides because he is not interested in being anyone's add-on. He's not. He's not interested in just being another little piece of a well-rounded life. Now look, when we think about all the things that divide people, maybe divide some of our own families, does the church get in the way? Yes, sometimes. Are there certain views that are controversial? Absolutely. Are there dumb things that Christians have done? Yes and amen. But ultimately, it is and has been and always will be Christ. What do you make of Christ? That is the dividing line. We must be honest about it. Look, when you're at Walmart or Meijer or wherever, and somebody has the audacity to say happy holidays to you, you know, you don't come here. Merry Christmas! Okay? That's right. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. We're not trying to be obnoxious. And yet, not being obnoxious is not the same as being cowardly. We must be willing to confess, not out of mere custom or calculation or ignorance for the words that we speak, but freely and knowingly, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that this holiday, and we're so glad that people all over can celebrate it, and we got the trees and the stockings and Santa coming down and all the rest, but ultimately, we say, you know what this is about? You know what this is? Not just for me, but you know what this is in the world? Is that God did the most ungodlike thing imaginable. He was born as a human. And I believe it, and I stake my entire life upon it. It's a peace that divides. Which means, number four, it is a peace that some people miss. You see that line in verse 14, and maybe it sounded a little different than how you've heard it before. Peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. There are some versions that say peace, goodwill among men. But a better translation, as we have here in your pew Bibles, says, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Or you could translate it, men of his good pleasure. So the angels are announcing not goodwill to men indiscriminately, though there's a sense in which God brings a common blessings of peace. But no, this is a specific word. This is good news for God's people. Now, there's an element in which it's for all people because there is an invitation. We see that in verse 10, an acknowledgement that this is going to mean a great opportunity for all people everywhere. And yet this peace announced in verse 14 is among those with whom he is pleased. It is, if we look through the book of Luke, a particular peace, Luke 1:50. It is a peace for those who fear God. Chapter 6, it is a peace for those who hear the words of Jesus and do them. Chapter 9, it is a peace for those who confess Jesus as Christ and follow him. Chapter 13, it is a peace for those who repent and enter through the narrow door. Chapter 18, it is a peace for those who humble themselves. Chapter 23, it is a peace like that experienced by the thief on the cross for all those who throw themselves on the mercy of the Lord Jesus and say, I'm getting what I deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Did you hear the words just read to us and read so well from John 1? He came to his own people did not receive him, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It was this way on the very first Christmas and has been this way in every subsequent Christmas. Some will receive him and some do not. Some say, I'm interested, I'm curious. Some say, I really like that he seems to have some good things about him and what he teaches is really inspiring and I like kind of what it does to people. What does it do for you? Who is this Christ? Because if the things we're singing about are true, then this cannot be just a feel-good moment with candles and carols and family and It's a Wonderful Life. When does that start? Soon. I better hurry. It can't be that, because it's God breaking into our world. And you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. It's a peace that some people miss. And finally, it is a peace that we get later, but we can experience now. Yes, there is an element of this that we only get later. That's why Jesus taught the disciples to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. There is an inbreaking of the kingdom. We don't have everything that has been promised. The inheritance has not been finally realized. The devil has been condemned, but he still prowls like a lion. Every tear has not been wiped away. There is still grief and lament and sadness in our world. So we don't have all that this peace will bring, but we can experience it now already. We've heard from Luke that there's peace announced at Jesus' birth, peace announced before his birth, there's peace announced during his ministry, there's peace announced in the last week of his life, and there is one final episode, one final word after his resurrection. Luke chapter 24, the very end of the book, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself, nail marks in his hands, holes in his side, stood among them and said, peace to you. In John 14, in the upper room, he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Do you see why this peace is, on the one hand, narrower than just the cessation of conflict and war? And yet, do you see that it is so much bigger, so much brighter, so much better. It means peace with others as we come in one name. How much better even than gathering around one fireplace and one Christmas tree to gather people from every tongue and tribe and nation in one name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with others, yes. Peace perhaps with yourself. Some of you are here, you're wrestling with yourself. You've been fighting maybe forever. What do you do with a sense of guilt and shame? What do you do with a sense that life must be worth something more? What do you do with that sense of how does suffering fit in? Who cares about my tears? Does anybody mind my injustice? You have peace with yourself, and most importantly, in the one upon which all these others are based, is peace with God. Because every Jew understood that God was a holy God. And he was long-suffering, and he was slow to anger, and he was abounding in mercy, but he was not a God to be trifled with. They knew that from Noah. They knew that from God visiting Moses on the mountain. They knew that from being overrun by the Babylonians. They knew that. And so if they had ears to hear, they would have heard what good news this was. Not just peace, but peace with God and with each other. Do you have ears to hear the angel's song? Will you make it your own? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would, for us, for the first time, for the 100th time, again to remind us of the things we have forgotten, give us this peace that passes understanding, is not contrary to reason, but goes deeper and higher than what we could just think and dream ourselves. Let us know this peace, which is found only in Christ. And may the angel song be ours as well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.